League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside and Scott Wetzel on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Let's get after it. It is Wednesday afternoon on the Sports Grid Network. This is Moneyline. It's Scott Wetzel, Donnie Wrightside. Wednesdays with Wetzel. And if you want to get involved in hour number one, so easy to do. 844-843-6879. Scott, it's another Wednesday here. A lot to get to today.
Man, what's going on, Donnie? I tell you, I'm more amazed. NFL, no. College football, no. NBA, no. NHL, no. Baseball, no. I'm more amazed about running. How about the 50-plus or 60-year-old man who was a chain smoker? The story, I don't know if you saw that or not, who ran a marathon smoking cigarette the entire race, and he finished the race in 3.5 hours.
Was it cigarettes or cigars, was it? Because I thought I read something about cigars. Was it cigars?
Oh, wow, cigars? Maybe it was cigars.
I thought I saw one yesterday with cigars, but equally impressive. Let me tell you something. If somebody's running a marathon with a couple darts that they're smoking, that might be one of the most impressive feats I've ever heard of.
I mean, who would we, even if, and I'm not a smoker, you know, I have a cigar every once in a while, but I'm not a smoker, right? So, but even if you were a smoker, that would be annoying running with a cigarette in your mouth, right? I mean, how could you concentrate? I mean, wouldn't you want to spit the thing out? You're sweating to death. And meanwhile, this guy's hacking down, you know, I don't know how much he eventually smoked, but you know, like a case of cigarettes, I would imagine. Oh, my goodness. People are funny.
I mean, running it within your hand and every couple, you know, couple hundred yards, you take a puff, blast it out there. What about the people around you, like the secondhand smoke? Like, man, I'm trying to run a marathon. I'm choking over here on cigar smoke or cigarette smoke at this point. But that is an impressive, if that actually happened, where he's like, you know what, I'm going to join this, and, you know, what gives me my advantage is nicotine in my system, so let's go ahead here. I like that. I respect it.
Yeah, 50-year-old, here it is. 50-year-old runner goes by the name of Uncle Chen. It's somewhere in China, and he's smoking away. But I assume it's cigarette. Maybe it is cigars. Maybe that was the same one. But that is funny. I didn't think about that. But how about the poor people around the guy? You're right. This secondhand smoke, right? Blowing in my face, you're choking to death.
Now, also, like, you're like a mile or two into the race. Like, do you have, like, a little pouch on you that either A, holds the cigarettes, or B, what about the lighter? Like, you just light one up on the go? Because if you don't have a, let's just say, a jet lighter there, just a regular, I mean, or that would just matches. Like, that's got to be a pretty good thing to be running full speed and still being able to rip off a cigar or cigarette and light it up. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. It says here in the story, he was seen lighting up and puffing down a pack of darts throughout the event. So I think it would just be one right after another, but maybe not. Maybe he's taking a little break and he would, you know, take out his matches or lighter. And that's funny.
My goodness. Keeps him nice and young right there. That's probably the last thing. Like, if I'm on the treadmill or just trying to get a workout and just, you know, have a couple of heaters in my mouth ready
to go.
I think
about that. You know what I think about that too, Don? Whenever I go to the beach and it's sweating and it's like 100 degrees and these people are lighting up cigarettes. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, it's like 100 outside. The last thing I want to do is put a flame in my mouth. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So, again, I'm not a smoker, so I don't know, but it just seems kind of weird. I never understood that at the beach either.
It is a good point there, because on the beach, figuratively, like you're going in the water, you're coming out, but it's usually hot, right? Let's hit the beach, 90 degrees or whatever it is. You're right about that, because I'm a cigar smoker, but I don't think anything would be enjoyable about being on the beach with sand blowing in my face and, you know, taking about 45 minutes for a nice slow burn on a cigar. I don't know if that's the greatest thing. Now, I've done it before, but you're right. If you put it in that time and place where it's really hot. Like if I'm sitting in Vegas poolside, oh, smoking area. Like no. Right. No. It's like 110 degrees. You're right. Like I don't need an extra, you know, dart in my mouth just really firing me up. It's a good point.
Yeah. So do me a favor. When you light that, when you bring that flame over here, you know, so it's 100 degrees isn't hot enough. But put that match near my face, will you please? You know?
Yeah. Has anybody ever said, like, hey, let's go walk the strip? Be like, hey, man, time out here. I need a nice, cool, like, heater in my mouth just to let it rip here. And then let me get back to walking. No, you grab a bottle of water or a drink or something like that. But hey, to each his own at that point. So if you can finish a marathon and run that long while smoking, certainly impressive feat. Talk about smoking here, by the way. Quickly in Brooklyn, I get a kick out of this every time I see it come up here. Now, you're talking about Kevin Durant here. Got 153 points hung on the Brooklyn Nets yesterday. Two things coming out. Number one, it seems like KD is fed up with this team. And number two, the team turning on Ben Simmons. Who would have saw that coming, Scott?
Oh, yeah, shocking news. How about that? I mean, they're finally, you know, the rest of the world is fed up with Ben Simmons, and the Nets seemingly are finally. And even I read a quote from Durant saying, well, we didn't play that badly. They were just shooting well. 153 points from Sacramento, no less.
In regulation.
They turned things in regulation. Yeah. they gave up 36 points in every quarter. 36, 37, 42. You know, you think after halftime, after giving up 73 points in the first half, there'd be kind of a rallying of the troops and like, all right, let's play a little bit better. Will you guys please? And then they put 42 on the board in the third and the fourth, 38 points. I mean, just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Absolutely slayed them out there. And you're right. It's Sacramento. Something has to drop there with the Nets. I don't see if they're going to play this out because I also saw yesterday it was the seventh straight game that Kyrie missed. There's no even word on the street like we're going to bring him back. It's going to get better. We're going to trade him at this point here. Making Jacques Vaughn your head coach, obviously just to stem the tide for a few days. But this is going to be a long few weeks because for me, if I put a percentage on it for you, the chances Kevin Durant by Christmas is still on the Brooklyn Nets, what would you put that percentage at this point?
Well, that's a good one. You know, if they continue to ask for what they're asking for, I think pretty good. I really do. I don't know about the other two guys, but I think Durant's there for the long haul.
My goodness, man. How much fun it is to watch, Brooke. We got a lot more to go to on this show, so make sure you stick around. It's Moneyline, and we will be right back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back at it here. Hour number one of Moneyline in the afternoon on a Wednesday, right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. Phone callers, you want to call in, you want to have some fun with us, easy to do. 844-843-6879. I do want to talk some college sports here, particularly college football. Yesterday, Scott, the college football rankings did come out. But before I do that, you know who's back at it again? Mattress Mack. Is back placing big wagers, it says. $1.5 million across two wagers on the Houston Cougars to win the NCAA title. Now, as we know, that's not football. That is college basketball. So maybe in the Houston area, because Houston is very good in college basketball, maybe a run, maybe more furniture on sale. Get your free furniture if the Houston Cougars win the NCAA title. So he's back out there hedging, Scotty.
It's amazing. Did you see the pictures of him the other day, wheelbarrowing the money to his private plane?
Oh, I would love that. Unbelievable. I need to see that.
Yeah. They showed that, right? So normally you'd think the guy would get a wire transfer, right? But if the wire transfers, as someone pointed out, that doesn't sell. You can't take a picture of a wire transfer. You know, you got this 71-year-old man wheelbarrowing all his money into his private plane. I mean, it was goofy. So, hey, listen, the guy's, you know, he's on a roll. I mean, it's a great promotion. It's a great idea. I don't know if more people would do that or not. He's, you know, obviously in Houston, but... you know, bet on a team. With betting being as big as it is, you got to buy furniture. Again, he probably charges about 15 to 20% more, I would guess, than most people. But is that worth the price of, you know, maybe getting all your money back, you know? So
exactly. Put that thing on credit down there. Get that extra 10-15% back. You're holding the money. You got to give it back. Maybe you don't. You're making money across the board. But there he goes. And also, I guess you need good local teams here. Obviously, the Houston Astros is just about in it every single year. You can always make that wager. And now the Houston Cougars in NCAA basketball, maybe a top five program by the end of the year entering into the tournament. We'll see how that one plays out and how long he increases those wages. Because he starts light, Scott, but then when it starts to look like the Houston Cougars might be good, more people in that area start buying furniture, and then he starts going, okay, a million here, 5 million here, 10 million here, and away we go with that. So something to keep an eye on during college basketball season. Now, college football rankings came out yesterday. No surprises. The only unbeaten teams, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, and TCU, all 10-0. They're listed 1-4, so we'll start with some easy questions here. I don't have an issue with anywhere where those teams are seated. Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, and TCU. Same thing with you, Scott, or flip-flop, or TCU not in the top four. I think they got it right last night with at least the top four here.
Yeah, I mentioned this last week. I think they got the top five perfect. As far as the pecking order of who would be next in line, I think Tennessee is going to be it. You know what's amazing to me, Donnie? I brought this up on my morning show here.
Yep.
I don't know where maybe I'm just falling asleep, but okay, I get Georgia and Ohio State and Michigan and TCU and all the others. But if I gave you a pop quiz of who would be 9-1 and ranked 13th, you could have given me 20 guesses, and I never in a million years would have guessed. You know, North Carolina is 9-1 with their only loss coming to Notre Dame, which oddly enough is Clemson's only loss as well. And I saw that. I'm like, North Carolina's not. Every time I turn around, they're in a close game. They can't be 9-1 because I know they lost to Notre Dame. North Carolina's 9-1. They're the quietest 9-1 team, in the history maybe of college football. So what happens if Clemson wins their last two games and North Carolina wins their last two games? That sets up a Clemson-North Carolina ACC championship game. I mean, would a 12-1 North Carolina with a win over Clemson be yelling and screaming about how they deserve to be in the Final Four? There's going to be some debate on, and that's what college football wants. I understand that. But, considering TCU figures to lose once, you could have a one-loss TCU team, a one-loss Tennessee team, a one-loss USC team, a one-loss Clemson or North Carolina team, a one-loss Ohio State or Michigan team. You're going to get a lot of teams that are vying for a couple of spots.
Yes, and if it goes that way, it is a lot of fun to talk about, and the best part about it is the quicker we will get to an expanded playoff, if it does get that far, because you're not playing games on the football field. You're playing, politics in a back room, trying to get your conference or get your team into a national championship picture. Now, the North Carolina thing is interesting because it's not supposed to go this way, Scott. You're not supposed to be in the ACC, have 10 games already played. You didn't even play a ranked opponent. It's almost too hard to even fathom at that point because you look at their schedule, and also we thought Notre Dame was going to be a bad loss early. You can't lose to Notre Dame. My goodness, you guys stink. Well, now Notre Dame starts to kick it into high gear. That no longer looks like such a terrible loss. But you figure if you're playing Pittsburgh and Miami and Virginia Tech and Notre Dame, say it's a couple ranked teams on that list. It's not. They're actually going to get a ranked opponent here coming up, or at least if they continue to win or stay there. NC State at 24 and then Clemson, if you figure they'll win out, they'll be a top 10 team, so you'll finally get it. But it almost looks like the committee, Scott, has buried North Carolina, because no way. Usually the pathway to victory in the committee will recognize, look, the Toros aren't the best team, but if there's a legitimate chance that they wind up with only one loss after beating Clemson in the ACC title game, you gotta give them a little bit of kudos. But it looks like they bury them at 13 going, first of all, we don't know if you're going to run the table, and second off, if you do, we don't want you anywhere near the college football playoff.
Yeah, they really don't. They really don't. It's amazing. They don't want them, and I don't think they want TCU there either by having TCU continuing to be fourth, even though if you look at the resume of TCU and Ohio State and Michigan, TCU would be number one, as far as who they've beaten. I mean, they've beaten five teams that were ranked at the time they played them. Five. I mean, that's pretty darn good. I mean, Ohio State and Michigan, they got wins over Penn State, but that's basically it. You know, even the loser or even the winner, of that of next week's game. All right, so you're going to go undefeated, I guess, so you'll get in. But the loser has no leg to yell and scream about. That two or three loss Ohio State or Michigan team, they should fall to me all the way at the bottom. Whoever loses that game, because their resumes are just not that good.
They're not. And they're sitting there ranked 2 and 3, and rightfully so. But I guess you could say, like, okay, the winner of that, you know, game between Michigan State and Michigan State and Ohio State, they're automatically going to get in no matter what happens. Now, granted, right, you're not even facing a struggle, Scott. Whoever wins that game goes to the Big Ten championship. What is it, a 5-loss team they're going to play in the Big Ten championship game? I mean, that is a terrible opposite side of the division, which begs the question, when one of those teams does take a loss, boy, it opens a lot of Pandora's box on the opposite side of who should get in, who should not get in, because the way we talk about TCU playing some ranked teams, it's the same thing with Tennessee. It's not Tennessee's fault they play in the same side with Georgia and had a game at Georgia, even though, hey, well, Donnie, Tennessee was actually ranked number one in that game and Georgia was 3. Understand the semantics of that. But if you're beating a team in Pitt that was 17th when you beat them, number 20th Florida, number 25 LSU, number 3 Alabama, number 19 Kentucky, then you go on the road in the rain to get beat by Georgia, and then you say, okay, how about that? Missouri, 66-24. They got South Carolina and Vanderbilt. And I got to tell you, Scott, also, it's fun talking about where these rankings line up, but the South Carolina game and Vanderbilt game, there's no way that Tennessee's like, hey, we just got to win and we'll let the chips fall. Do you feel the same thing I do? Like, they got to run them. Like, they got 66 on Missouri. They're trying to get 66-plus against South Carolina this week.
Yeah, they got to put up huge numbers, right? I mean, just to stay at number 5 or maybe leapfrog one of those two teams. I also think it's convenient that Ohio State and Michigan are 2 and 3, and that neither one, especially Michigan's, Ohio State at least has a win over Notre Dame. But, you know, if Michigan were to win out, even winning out, Donnie, all right, they got a win over Ohio State and a win over Penn State, that's it. I mean, if I'm Tennessee and you just rattled off all their wins, I know I have the one loss, but it wasn't a bad loss, and that was to the number one team in the country. You could make the case they deserve to get in over an undefeated Michigan team. So this is the year you really need 8 teams. You really do. But college football loves this stuff. You know, they don't realize that you're going to alienate all these fan bases that don't get in. They're just going to enjoy the 2-3 weeks of debate leading up to the college football announcement.
Yeah, it should be madness as it comes down. And as always, I like to root for the anarchy out here. Give me all the possible scenarios that these college football, you know, guys behind the scenes, they're going to make the choices who gets in. I can't wait to hear the arguments that they make for or against some of these teams. If you want to get involved, do it. 844-843-6879. It's Moneyline on a Wednesday. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That time of year, people, starts to get a little bit colder out, but the football talk continues to heat up. This is Moneyline in the afternoon on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Donnie and Scott here in the afternoon. And from what I hear, the phone lines also heating up, 844-843-6879 if you want to get involved. And, of course, here on a Wednesday, we want to talk to the Moose. The Moose is loose here. Let us know what's going on, Moose. What's good?
Gentlemen, Scotty, I'm ready to take my penance. I pulled my big boy pants on. My brownies got burnt and they're put out to pasture. You know, hey, if you can't if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. You know, so they need to blow up that entire team.
I said it last week, Moose. I didn't understand why they were only 3.5-point favorite. And it went from 4 to 3.5. He got lowered.
It was a sharp play, Scott. It was sharp.
Yeah. It was real sharp. Well, the hoodwinks are really sharp. But exactly. The experts. Wise guys.
Well, Scotty, I have to say that you cheated on that
game. How's that? Okay. How did we do that?
Well, do you think that the good Lord upstairs is going to let Mr. Juicy sleep on the streets without an apartment payment? He's not going to put him out on the streets.
He's a good man, Mr. Juicy. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, hey, looks like action last night. So Ohio Bobcats are going to be playing Toledo. So, but the Bobcats quarterback went down. I don't know how bad he's hurt.
Yeah.
But he went down, so that's interesting. And then how about that Bills game? I was just looking at the weather forecast that after I talked to the guys yesterday, and they're saying Buffalo could be getting close to 2 inches of snow per hour. And what this is interesting is they're saying it could break all records, and it's supposed to start snowing Thursday. So and they're talking about roads getting shut down, obviously. So what's that going to – I mean, Cleveland's going to – if they're going to play, they're probably going to have to get in there on Wednesday, you know. So – but I do remember. I do remember when I was back in law enforcement, when I was living in Denver, Colorado, we had to get the Broncos to the stadium, to the airport. And we had, and of course, you know, Denver, you could get a foot and a half of snow overnight, and it just came through with the blizzard. So we had the patrol cars out there. We had the snow plows out in front, and we literally plowed them right to the airport, and they somehow managed to get off. So, but it's going to be an interesting game. Going to be, we got some Mac games tonight too, gentlemen. So,
who you got tonight?
As always, I think. I'll tell you right now who's playing tonight. So, you have Eastern Michigan at Kent State, Miami U at Northern Illinois, and Western Michigan at Central Michigan. So all national televised games. So we got a good night of football ahead of us. We got a good night.
Yes, we do.
And hey, I'll just leave it with this.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to leave it with this. You know, I got to get my wife out of the kitchen because last time she cooked me dessert, which was chocolate brownies. She burnt the shit out of them. But, yeah, no more brownie cookies for her.
Crispy charcoal bites. I like that. Yeah. All right, there's Moose checking in with a little bit of flavor for tonight here, chiming in on this stuff. Yeah, we'll get to the phone calls here as we keep on moving through. And by the way, just a footnote that I do want to talk about that Buffalo game and the interesting points here that could happen, a nosediving total maybe where their value might be. But let's stay on the phones here. John from Manhattan calling in. He's ready to go on a Wednesday with Wetzel right here. John, what's good from Manhattan?
Donnie Baseball, how are you?
Hello, hello.
I like how Moose says gentleman and hi, Scott, because he can't be included in the gentleman category. Cracking me up.
That's the Moose, man. Uh-huh.
That's funny.
What's the most exciting NFL game of the season so far, guys?
I mean, it depends on what you like. I mean, it's hard to say not off of that Buffalo Bills game because it gave you so many ridiculous plays between the fourth quarter and overtime. But also, almost side by side, the Detroit-Chicago game was phenomenal as sort of a background on Sunday as well. It's hard to go against games that you just watched there, but my goodness, a Minnesota game was a lot of fun to watch unless you actually lost money on that game. It must have been excruciating.
I was advocating for that to be the night game, and I'm not saying you pushed against that, but it is a shame that was not the night game, guys. What a great game that was. It was exciting. Scott, the Vikings-Bills, I've been waiting all week to hear you say something nice about the Vikings. Now, Monday morning, you were not on the air for the first 18 minutes, but I assume you were not praising the Vikings. And don't get me wrong, Scott, in Donnie Baseball, I'm not expecting Scott to put Cousins in the Hall of Fame and stuff like that. But, Scott, the next nice thing you say about the Vikings will be the first. Mm. You know, you gave a lot of grief to the Bills quarterback, which he deserves. But I'd like you to say something nice about Kirk Cousins. Scott, I don't know why you dislike the guy so much. The worst thing he did, as far as I can tell, is bet on himself and take all the money. He's not a braggart. He seems like a stand-up guy, and he's, you know, the team's, you know, has one loss. So, Scott, Donnie Baseball, give Scott $5. See if we can get him to say something nice about my Vikings. Thanks, guys.
There you go. All right. There goes John from Manhattan. Would you like to say, the floor is yours, Scott. Something nice about the Vikings, uniforms, stadium, fans are nice. What do you got? Players?
Well, it's funny. I spent the first 18 minutes Monday complimenting Kirk Cousins. So, no, I really didn't.
Yeah, what were you doing, by the way, for the first 18 minutes? What was good? Because I've been a part of shows where it's like, hey, by the way, we're not actually on by accident here. Oh, awesome.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Yeah.
Depending on if you have a Sirius satellite or an XM satellite, there are differences. You know, sometimes it gets, you know, things get screwed up here. So, was one of those instances, I suppose. But you can always listen to us on the Sports Grid app, by the way, people. So that's if in doubt, always just go to Sports Grid app. That's the easiest way. Listen, Kirk Cousins never won a big game in his life, right? I mean, so even this game, they didn't win because Kirk Cousins.
He was trying to give it away. He was trying to give it away in the second half when they were down 3 scores. It's like, oh, Kirk with another terrible interception. And they still ended up winning.
Can't score, you know, fourth and goal, you run. See, this is what I talk about with these
That's
head
bad.
Coaches. It's first and goal at the 1 yard line, and you have one of the best running backs in the NFL in Dalvin Cook, and you don't give him the ball. If it's me, I just hear four times. You don't even have to.
Well, they actually did give it to him there, but the problem was there was 12 men on the field, which caused a 3 yard loss, which was hilarious because you're right. I always live with it, Scott, right? You're first and goal at the 1 yard line, and you say to me, Donnie, I'm going to give it to Dalvin Cook 4 straight times, but we don't get in. I'm like, okay, I can't argue it. I can't argue against it.
Right. Instead, you're going to make Kirk Cousins throw the football, and we all knew what happened there. So, listen, the guy we know is prime time, but was he like 0-9 in prime time games? He doesn't win in big time spots. Yeah, he's a decent quarterback. He is what he is. He's going to get coaches fired because he can be good sometimes. There's a ton of talent on that Minnesota Vikings team.
They should have been a lot better than
what they were over the years. I mean, and now even again this year. And listen, the one prime time game, they laid an egg. So until Kirk Cousins wins a big time football game, he'll always be Kirk Cousins, John. He just will. You'll live in purgatory with him.
Still flying under the radar. And by the way, we're going to get to that Dallas Cowboys Minnesota line and some thoughts on that game where Dak Prescott lines up against Kirk Cousins in that one and have some fun. Now, we only have a few moments here left to go in the segment.
Too, by the way.
Yes, exactly. We're going to have a good time with that. But also bringing up here the weather conditions that Moose said. Cleveland and Buffalo, I believe it said like 4 years ago today, they had one of those massive, massive snowstorms just south of Buffalo. Looks like they're headed for another one. But also, I always like to remind people, because Moose even brought it up. It's going to start snowing Thursday. Let's just say, Scott, they get 4 feet of snow, but they still end up playing the football game. It doesn't mean 4 feet of snow is going to fall between 1 and 4 o'clock in Buffalo on that field. Right. But you also see the 44.5s that opened up at FanDuel, now down to 41.5s, and even as I'm looking now, Bet365, PointsBet, DraftKings, now down to 41. You might see that number continue to dip as people get nervous, but also, you have to remember, sometimes it's not just about the snow itself or rain. You're talking about 22 degrees and 20 mile an hour sustained winds up in Buffalo, which could impact it. And you're also seeing now that total, the side coming below a touchdown as well. And you noted already, boy, if you're going to have high winds and conditions, that sounds like something that you would want to lean on Buffalo and have a few really good running backs to your side as well.
Right, and then that's where Cleveland comes into play. You know, you would think with Chubb in the backfield, they would have the decided advantage, right? I mean, that's what you would think. 7.5. I would play. You know, listen, you got to take field goals out of the equation. To me, it's the wind. You know, they could have 10 feet of snow, Donnie, on Thursday and Friday or Saturday, but by Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, it's gone.
Correct.
And those turfs, they're all heated. You know, that's not ground like you walking in your backyard and like, oh, my God, it's a rock. Those, they have heated coils underneath the ground. So the ground itself, once they plow,
it's tarped an hour and a half, up to an hour and a half before the game. Like, nothing is going to touch that field unless it snows during the game, basically,
Right. So it's the ability to throw the football with 20, 30 mile an hour winds. If it gets that high, then you side maybe towards the under. But otherwise, I stay away from thinking weather is going to play a factor. You let it go down into the 30s, and I'll bet the over on that game. I will. Especially with Cleveland that wants to run the ball anyway. So they're not doing anything crazy that they would normally be doing.
Exactly. It'll be interesting to see a play out. And also, you know, if there's one quarterback that you would like in high winds, it's probably Josh Allen. He can throw the football through a brick wall. Not even a UCL injury is slowing this guy down from throwing 40 times a game. But one of those you want to keep your eye on to see where that line ends up and where that value might be. Well, this is Moneyline on a Wednesday afternoon. It's Donnie and Scott in the afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here, hour number one. Radio on the Grid, Sirius XM channel 159. It's Moneyline. Scott Wetzel, Donnie Wrightside here. If you want to get involved in the show, dial in 844-843-6879. Going over some football lines here for this weekend. Just we're talking a little bit about Cleveland and Buffalo, where that number might end up and who might have the advantage. We'll see if we get snow. We'll see if we get wind, but certainly looks like it's going to be freezing cold temperatures. Now, one of the more interesting lines, Scott, that opened up this weekend for me and immediately got my attention. 471, 472 on the rotation this Sunday afternoon, 4:25 p.m. Eastern, Dallas and Minnesota. 2.5-point number opened up at FanDuel. Hey, look at that. Vikings only favored by 2.5. No. The Dallas Cowboys opened up as a favorite as they still hold on to favored status here. FanDuel's got 1.5. Some other outlets there holding them at a -1. Your initial thoughts on that game? Because to me, I was surprised to see that the Dallas Cowboys were a favorite, to be honest with you, Scott.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense at all. I was shocked to see that, right? Especially after the way Minnesota won and all the publicity they got and the way Dallas lost. But, you know, every once in a while, you'll see a number. And then I'm big on trends and in, not necessarily following them, but just finding them. And here's, you know, then the light bulb went off on why Dallas is a 1.5-point road favorite. You ready?
Explain. Vikings, go ahead.
Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
4-18 straight up, only 7-14 against the spread versus teams that are 4 games over .500 or more. He doesn't beat these really good teams. And then you want to debate that Dallas really isn't that good. You know, you could have that separate debate. But then the light bulb went off, and that's why Minnesota is a 1.5-point underdog. Kirk Cousins, 4-18 against really, really good football teams.
Doesn't always come down to that, Scott, with him, Kirk Cousins. Like, it's like nobody ever trusts him. So when it comes into a big moment, they just won in Buffalo against one of the upper echelon teams in the NFL. It's like, yeah, it's still Kirk Cousins, though.
Right. Is he going to really beat, you know, is he going to buck those trends 2 weeks in a row? Maybe 1 week, okay, but 2 weeks in a row? You know, it's kind of like, you know, shame on me once, shame on you, or shame on you once, shame on me twice, right? So I got to see him to do it. Not that I'm a big Cowboys fan and where they blew that game, you know, on Sunday, but that's why that number is 1.5.
Right, you know what's interesting, too, about that game, Scott, because also you're trying to factor in what matters. Minnesota's probably going to run away with their division. Now, the Eagles do have one loss now, but still, you know, a few-game lead at least over the Dallas Cowboys. Is it almost looking at this going, hey, look, the Cowboys blew that game last week against Green Bay. 2-touchdown lead, they let it slip away in the second half. They can't afford to let another game slip away, even though it is Minnesota, whose only loss did come to the Philadelphia Eagles on the road. The total in this game, 47.5. We're talking about, you know, Cleveland and Buffalo, weather conditions, freezing cold. Yeah, it's going to be freezing cold in Minnesota, but it doesn't matter. It's in a dome at this point. How do you see this game playing out? Is it the Dallas Cowboys pass rush getting after Kirk Cousins and causing turnovers? Or is it, are we trusting Dak Prescott here with being a favorite here on the road against Minnesota?
Yeah, which can be. His numbers on the road as a favorite, I wonder what they are. They're probably not too good. I do think we're going to get some points. I will say that. It's pick your poison, right? I would pick Dallas laying 1.5. You know, the numbers overall are pretty good against the spread, 16-4 against NFC teams, 22-8 last 30 games overall against the spread. Minnesota's aren't. 13-18-1 against the spread last 32 games. So if I had to pick my poison, which one would I be less frustrated in and lose? I guess it would be Dallas and Dak versus Minnesota and Kirk Cousins. That's how I always do it, Donnie. Which way would I be kicking myself more? And if I were to put American money on Kirk Cousins and then lose, that would be that I couldn't accept that. I'll accept it with Dak. I won't with Kirk Cousins, even though they're the home team. And they really should win this game, right?
Yes. That's what you're figuring on, because the crowd will be amped up. It's a nice home field advantage in the dome up there. It's the Dallas Cowboys who, you know, it's not the 1990s. Dallas Cowboys, right. You can't move them. They have the best offensive line, right? They don't have that at this point now. We'll also see how healthy Zeke Elliott coming back in, and quite frankly, if his health even matters, because it's apparent that Pollard is a better running back overall. But it is interesting the way these two teams are coming into this game, because if you're just looking at box score, just the score alone, not even statistics, hey, look at that. You know, Dallas lost at Green Bay, Minnesota won at Buffalo. But when you get into that game, you're talking about furious comebacks and blown leads, because the Minnesota Vikings were down 17 points in that third quarter, came back and won that game. The Dallas Cowboys, 2-touchdown lead late in the second half, should I say third into the fourth quarter, they blew that lead and ended up losing that game. So if you're just looking on the outset saying, well, what did you want here? You know, Minnesota won, Dallas lost, but not really the case. What happens if, again, Josh Allen doesn't fumble that snap and the Dallas Cowboys just put away a bad Green Bay Packers team? Then you're looking at this number going, yeah, you know what? It makes a lot of sense at this point.
Yeah. It's almost like, Diana, that's exactly what they did. They said, you know what? Buffalo won that game. You know, he got the snap, yeah, and he got the 1 yard, and that was it. And Dallas was able to hold on, you know, with a 14-point fourth quarter lead, which could have been even more if Prescott doesn't throw the interception there in the first half. So it's almost like they said, all right, you know, I know Mark Lawrence, who I have on all the time anyway, you know, he's big into the stats. And it's yes, almost like the Vegas, too, said, all right, Dallas won the stats, even though they didn't win the game. You know, Buffalo won the stats, even though they didn't win the game. They should have, and that's why the number is what it is. And that's the NFL, though, you know, right? I mean, these games all come down to the final 5 minutes, all of them. It's amazing. You know, even the Houston Texans, I was looking up, Donnie, all but two of their losses have come by 9 points or less. I mean, and they're the worst team in football, 1-7-1. So if the worst team in football is in all these games, then you know it's just, it's coaching, it's nuances, it's good breaks, bad breaks. And I guess that's what Vegas is doing in this game. They think Dallas ultimately is better. But it's a weird one. Isn't it funny, though, with Dak? Real quickly, I mean, Cooper Rush comes in and he's the greatest thing in the world, and they win these games. Not that he's throwing for 300 yards, but they're winning. They're winning. They don't win with Dak, Donnie. I don't know what it is. I mean, he's not a great quarterback, but he's not awful. But they don't win with him for some reason.
Yeah, it's the same. If you can equate it to like the Washington Commanders, they asked Ron Rivera, like, hey, by the way, is Carson Wentz going to, when he's healthy, going to be your starting quarterback? Well, I haven't got there yet. He's not cleared. You look at Heineke's stats, you go, well, they're not that good, but at least they win with them. When you look at Carson Wentz, like, yeah, he's going to make a splash play, then he's going to take a strip sack fumble in the pocket, and that's really going to cost you on your next drive. So it's almost like, you know, half a dozen in one hand and the other one just, hey, you know what? Same thing. But no, there's turnovers that are involved here. And some guys just win. Some guys, when they need to make a clutch pass, just make that pass here. And by the way, we're talking about injuries and the change of scenery. The Los Angeles Rams win the Super Bowl last year, pay their entire football team to get the good vibes going heading into the season. You look at them now going on the road against a terrible Saints team. That line now up to 4.5 because apparently, Scott, the only offense that they had this year was Cooper Kupp, and he might be gone for the rest of the year. Are the Rams a dead team walking, or is McVay has a chance to rally the troops and say, hey, guys, there's still a lot of talent left in this room. But losing Cooper Kupp seems like around the outside of your quarterback, right, like Patrick Mahomes going down. I can't think of a team that could survive without a player like Cooper Kupp because it's like they rely on him every single play.
Yeah. You know, statistically, mathematically, that type of thing. Yeah, the Rams are two games out, you know, with nine games left. You could easily make that up, especially since the leading team is Seattle, right? And some people still don't believe in them. But realistically, FanDuel doesn't offer it anymore, but they did earlier in the week, whether it was yesterday or Monday, I saw a team that finished with the worst record in the NFL. And while it probably will be the Houston Texans, I said, you know, this Rams team, if they don't get, you know, if Cooper Rush can't play, now we're finding out, you know, he's going to be out at least 4 weeks. I don't know how long Stafford's going to be out, but they're not winning very many football games. You know, they only have 3 wins, and you get a veteran team like that, you call off the dogs, and boy, I could see them just, maybe not losing every single game, but I think it's dead man walking with that club. I don't see them rallying the troops. They don't have a running back that wants to be there. Their wide receivers are all banged up. Defense isn't the same. I don't know, like I said, if they'll go 3-17 or whatever it would be, 3-15. But I don't think that team has it in them this year.
Yeah, it doesn't. And it's also not one of those situations, Scott. It's like, hey, you know, McVay's like, all right, well, we just don't have it this year. And let's shut down Matthew Stafford, not get him injured anymore. And Cooper Cup, we're not going to rush you back for weeks 15, 16, 17, 18, whatever it would be. And next year, we'll get a really good first-round draft pick. And you don't have a first-round draft pick. So the only retooling they're going to do is try to massage that salary cap even more and try to sign players. So it's not even one you could just bite the bullet and say, well, man, we'll get a top three pick. We can add a pass rusher, a wide receiver, a cornerback, and we'll try this again. That's not the case. So we'll see how they do play it out. But it just feels like a dead team walking now. In one of those games that maybe you lined up at the beginning of the year going, hey, man, New Orleans and the Rams here, week 10, week 11, that's going to be some pretty interesting stuff. Not the case here. Now, the line actually opened up New Orleans as a favorite of -1, but it's ballooned to 4.5, as if we're waiting to back Andy Dalton when they continually ask Dennis Allen, like, hey, man, we're going to have conversations about bringing Jameis Winston back. I mean, everything has gone wrong for the Saints this year as well, Scott.
Yeah. By the way, does the Lions own that pick in the Stafford trade? Is that another one of the picks they gave up for Stafford? Yeah. I tell you, if you're Detroit, Donnie, you know, I mean, talk about teams that should be losing. I know it's Detroit, and you want to win just to get a little bit of good karma. But, boy, if the Rams end up with a top 10 pick and you get that, and you guys can end up being in Detroit with a top 10 pick, you get two top 10 picks. Boy, you could do a lot with that to turn your franchise around. I'm surprised with New Orleans, though. I had them pegged as maybe a Super Bowl contender. I was buying into the Kool-Aid this offseason about how Jameis Winston was working with all the guys, and he was going to be the leader, and we saw all those clips. I remember him talking to the players and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you got Michael Thomas back. You got Kamara, new head coach. And I bought into the New Orleans Saints Kool-Aid, and I'm surprised they're 3-7. And I guess now it will be Winston this week. At least that's the thought, right? But Dennis Allen stuck with Andy Dalton a long, long time. I don't know how hurt really Jameis Winston is, but he is dressing these last couple of weeks. I did not think this team would be 3-7. Yeah, it's got to be more than what they're saying, right? It has to
be. Does.
Andy Dalton's not that good. But why not Taysom Hill, though, Donnie?
I don't know. They paid him $1 trillion. Yeah, they paid him $1 trillion.
He's not even getting the ball.
5 carries, 100 yards, a couple touchdowns. Like, hey, enough of that. Let Andy Dalton throw it around out here. I mean, what are we doing? Because you're right, coming into the season, I'm expecting a massive performance out of Jameis Winston. But you line that team up and go, they got a hammer at running back. They also throw in Kamara, one of the better running backs in the NFL. Maybe a top 3 wide receiving core if it was healthy, and it was supposed to be in Jarvis Landry, Michael Thomas, and Chris Olave, who's been great. And then you mix and match in a pretty good defense, because in Philadelphia, the talk was, oh, we hope the Saints are going to be bad this year because the Eagles have the Saints' first-round draft pick. And if the season ended today, like, the Eagles will be drafting 4th, which is incredible when you have the best record in football getting the 4th pick because of how bad the Saints have been. I didn't see it coming. I didn't know if the Saints were going to challenge for the NFC South and win it, but certainly a playoff run. I couldn't even fathom not being there with the amount of talent they have. And also, keep in mind, it wasn't as if a new regime, Scott, came in. Like, this regime was all under Peyton as if it was an extension of Sean Payton, and it's been a disaster so far.
Yeah, and Taysom Hill, they give him $20 million, $10 million a year, and he's got 50 touches this season. Not even in 9 games, not even 50 touches. Yeah. I don't. What was the point? $10 million in the NBA is nothing. $10 million in the NFL is a lot of money to have a guy just basically be standing on the sidelines. I crazy situation.
Open the offense, the Saints. Well. Maybe it's done. Maybe they're looking at tanking the rest of the way out. But again, they don't have their first-round draft pick. So turmoil between two teams trying to lose with no first-round draft picks. Short segment coming up before we hit the top of the hour, Moneyline. We're going to find out where JP's going tonight. Maction, maybe? Could it be? We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, short segment here before we get to the top of the hour on Moneyline Radio on the Grid. It's Scott and Donnie in the afternoon, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern. Now's the time we find out where JP is going. First off, JP, I know you went NBA last night. Win or loss last night, by the way?
I'm sorry?
Win or loss for you last night?
Oh, win. I took the Knicks on the money line over the Jazz.
There you go. Look at that. Now, see, he played into it, Scott. He said, you know what? I hear this team meeting is going on out there. Serious business from those New York Knicks, and they come down with a dubstep last night. Now, tonight, we don't have any NFL action. Tomorrow, they'll return back. An interesting game, by the way, between the Titans and the Green Bay Packers. But an NBA card tonight, college basketball card, Maction card. Where are you going tonight with your action, JP?
You know, I wanted to go back to the NBA, but there was one thing on the NFL card that just jumped off the page to me. So I'm going to the team total in the NFL.
All right.
Not a game total, not a team total. Sorry.
A game total. I would have been impressed if it was a team total, by the way. Looking towards the weekend, I'm assuming Sunday, or is this going to be a tomorrow night game?
This is a Sunday game.
All right. So we've got Sunday total that we're looking at today. So, I mean, there's a lot of games out here for a total. Now, before I pester JP to try to narrow this down, Scott, I'm looking at Sunday. He's looking at a total. Cold conditions, is he leaning? Do we think he's leaning over or under, Scott, would you say, on a game?
A lot of low numbers. I think I do have. I think this one jumps out to me. I think he's leaning towards an over. Late game.
All right. Late game to the over. And there's this one late game that we could probably look at towards an over here. Let me see what it's going to be. Now, also, JP, is it an over? Don't give us the game. Is it an over or an under on your total? Give us that
under.
Tip. Ooh. There we go, okay. Scott. We're on an under here. All right, so factor this in. Is he buying into weather conditions? Is he looking for a defensive effort? Is he looking for a team trying to run the clock out against another team? Let's see where he might be going here. So JP taking an under on Sunday afternoon in the NFL, which we're going to guess up next. Hour number two quickly approaching. If you want to get involved in the show, have some fun, got a hot take or even some plays, you know how to get us. 844-843-6879. Scott Wetzel, Donnie Wrightside. This is Moneyline on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.